Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 229, stanzas 1 and 2. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. How I long, yea, faint to see thy hallowed courts and thy dwelling place. For thee my heart and spirit sigh, for thee, O living God, I cry. 1 and 2 of Psalter 229. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 16 through verse 27. John 19, verses 16 through 27. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 19, beginning with verse 16. Then delivered He him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led Him away. And He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him, and two other with Him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. So far the reading of God's holy word. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven, and who art in the heavens, thou wast here upon this world as we have been considering together, in a way of great humility. And we have now made confession with the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic, universal Christian faith, wherewith that we do confess that thou dost sit on the right hand of God, that thou there dost reign over all things, so that thou wilt bring into to pass everything that was in the counsel of thy Father from the never begun eternity, all that is in his decree, so that there is not one jot and there is not one tittle that shall not be fulfilled, down to even the parting of thy garments. These things, therefore, the soldiers did, because it was according to thy holy counsel. Oh, then each and every day that we do live here upon this world, that is all that is taking place also in this world, even at these very moments, every jot and tittle that is according to thy eternal counsel. And when we have heard in this morning hour that thou art the King of the Jews, and how that thou art the King of thy church, oh, that thou may give us to truly be thy subjects, that we may have a desire to walk in all of thy laws, and that we may be protected also by thee, but that we may also have a desire to live to thy honor and to thy glory, and that we may have a desire to be in agreement with thy will as the King of thy church, because thou wilt bring to pass everything that has been decreed by thy Father. And oh, thou knowest the callings that thou dost bring unto us and unto our children in these days. For thou hast called us for many years through the means of thy goodness and thy gifts and the prosperity that thou hast given in this world, and especially in the countries in which we do live. And now thou dost call by the pestilence, by the disease that does go through all the countries of this world, so that thou dost call unto mankind to turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? But thy servant did write according to the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, I have called unto you, and you have refused. And I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Let it not be said of us, O Lord, that thou hast called unto us, and we have refused. That thou hast sent prosperity and adversity, that thou hast brought us through blessing and through trial. We have refused to hear. We have gone on in the pursuit of all the pleasures of this world. We have not forsaken the idols that live in our hearts. Oh, we did hide them and we did sit upon them, even as a Rachel of old. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to give us uprightness and truth in our hearts, a new heart of flesh, that our ears may hear, that our eyes may see, and that our hearts may receive a blessed understanding, and that we may be brought while we are still in a day of grace, that we may be brought to bow our knees before the King who does sit upon the throne and who does yet in His mercy stretch out His hands unto us. Oh, to invite us unto Thyself, to give Thy word still to be preached in the midst of this world, so that men would hear and they may understand and they may turn from all their ways to the true and the living God. Oh, Thou dost still give that the gospel may be preached in the midst of the congregations, that there is a way of escape from all the sin and from all of its consequences, that Thou hast made a way in Thy own dear and beloved Son, in which Thou art putting away the punishment of Thy church, for Thou hast nailed Him unto the cross upon the hill of Calvary. Oh, and then we have heard it in this morning hour, and then it was declared in the council of Thee that there was no fault in this man. Oh, Lord, no fault in him, and yet punished as that innocent lamb for the sake of Thy church. Oh, could it please Thee to give us to see that there is no man that is too wretched, that there is no man that is too sinful, and no man that is too guilty, there is no man that is too corrupt to be forgiven, to be washed and to be cleansed in that precious and that all-atoning blood of Thy dear Son. Oh, that He may become precious unto us, as filthy and as wretched and as guilty and as a corrupt sinner. Oh, bring us to thy footstool. We cannot come up unto Thy house. Oh, give us in the places where Thou hast driven us, oh, as a little sanctuary to stand and to smite upon our breast and to say, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that that word of Thee and the suffering and the death may also be for our own profit of young and old. There are so many fears. Oh, it comes close and closer also unto us. It is in the midst of the nations in which we do live. Oh, that Thou may give us, that in this time we may learn to bow. Otherwise, we shall only be hardened under all Thy callings. Lord, do it for Thy name's sake. O Thou who dost sit on the right hand of Thy Father, and who has done so much, yea, who has done everything for the payment of that price for Thy people, O Thou art worthy to receive an inheritance. It is due unto Thee. Oh, could it be that we and our children may also be included therein, and that there may be power that goes out of Thy word. We can read in Thy word that Thou didst speak, and that Thou didst send forth Thy Spirit, and that it did fill Thy servant. O Lord, in a moment, Thou art able to send that Spirit forth, so that it may fill us in this hour, and that we may be able to bring forth things new and old out of Thy law, and Thou art able to send forth that Spirit, where each and every one of our people may be gathered in their own homes with their children, where they may fold their hands, where they may close their eyes, and where they may say, oh Lord, convert me too. Convert me with my wife. Convert me with my children. Look upon my grandchildren, my loved ones far and near. Protect us from the pestilence, but protect us also from our own sin, which is damn us, which will bring us into that everlasting pain.
pit. Oh, give us to see the great contagiousness of that disease of sin. Oh, that we do spread it among ourselves. Oh, that what comes forth out of our heart, that does corrupt all of our motions of our minds and all the things that we say and that we do, that we might feel the utter corruption, and that is from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Oh, that we may cry to thee to say, Lord, wilt thou make me clean, and wilt thou wash me, and wilt thou cleanse me in that fountain that is open, and for sin and for uncleanness unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of David. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Thou dost give so much in this world. There is so much prosperity. There are so many blessings unto us in a natural way. What will they profit us if we gain the whole world and we lose our own soul? It is thy Sabbath day, O Lord. We beseech thee in this hour, when we are gathered around thy word of truth, for a little token of thy nearness, of thy presence, of thy truth. May it come into the hearts of young and old together, here in thy house and in our own homes. Wilt thou care for each and every one of all those that are sick and afflicted in this world, and for the fears they are so many, and when death does stare men in the face. O Lord, could it please thee to hear the needy when they cry, and to save their souls when death draws nigh? And wilt thou show what a God that thou art, and that thou art so good, even in the midst of all our wretchedness and of all our sin, and that thou art so ready to forgive? Remember our governments and all those that do stand in positions of authority that must make decisions on our behalf. Lord, they know not thee for the most part, as can be seen in all the works of this world. But it could please thee to bring in this time a bowing before thy footstool. Oh, that those who rule and reign over us may be given to know that they do it on thy behalf, and that they may bow their knees in their secret chambers, and that the cry may go out unto the God of all the earth. And wilt thou make us one of those blessed nations whose God is the Lord? Lord, take reasons out of thyself. Remember all the old and the sickly ones, those in the nursing home, and those also that do mourn. For thou knowest where they are in the midst of our community. But there are so many also in this world. They have seen their loved ones, and they go from health and strength unto sickness, and then, oh, and then the shadow of this life that is disappearing. Oh, in a moment, a little vapor, and then it is gone. And loved ones, oh Lord, then there is so much sorrow. Oh, that thou may give in thy compassion a little strength from above, and that thou may lead them into thy truth and back unto thyself. Help us, O Lord, this hour, those that may be with us also, the organists, the custodians, Lord, that thou may grant us together a good hour together in the midst of our flock, forgiving our sins and granting us a moment of thy presence, of thy nearness, and of thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted,
I sought for light. 210, stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
beloved congregation. It was a great wonder to Ruth that Boaz did show kindness unto her. Why? Because she said, I am not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Then she knew that she was an outsider. She knew that she was a Moabitess. She knew that she was an idolater. And that pertained to her and not to all the people that were round about her. That is now the opinion which the true people of the Lord, they have of them their own selves. Why? Because the Lord, He has instructed them a little in the knowledge of their own heart. And their heart, that is the only heart that they know. They cannot see into the heart of their neighbor. Nor can they imagine that which they do experience to be in their own heart, the hypocrisy, the wickedness, the corruption, the sin, that can possibly live in the heart of their neighbor. And therefore the greatest wonder for that people is if the Lord would show kindness unto them. For I be not as one of thine handmaidens. That is the cause of so much fear so often in the life of that true church. Whether they are one of that true people of the Lord or no. There is nothing that they desire to know more than that they themselves are included. Am I his or am I not? To include himself, that is giving an honest man no comfort. Because what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, not he that commendeth himself that is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Or do we desire to know that we are also commended and approved by the Lord? We have read together of three women that we read they are commended by the Lord. Shall we place ourselves next to these women to see if we also belong to one of them, that we may stand with them also? Our text that can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 19, the 25th verse. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So far, the words of our text. Love at the cross of Jesus. First, love manifested. And second, love recorded. Love at the cross of Jesus. First, love manifested. And second, love recorded. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus we would expect that it would say, well, at the very least, that it would say, Peter. Now there stood at the cross of Jesus, Peter. Because Peter, he has only so lately in this past night, Peter, he has declared that he would never deny, that he would never forsake the Lord Jesus, that he was ready to die with the Lord Jesus. Thus, we would expect that when the Lord Jesus, he is placed, nailed to the cross of Calvary, that he would say, now stood, there stood by the cross of Jesus, Peter. Or that it would say that there stood by the cross of Jesus the 11 disciples of the Lord Jesus, because they also, with Peter, they have said that they would never deny, that they would never forsake the Lord Jesus. But where is Peter now? Peter, he is weeping. Peter has made himself unfit for service. That is what sin does. Then he can be of no use to the Lord Jesus now, because his conscience that is speaking, and because his heart that is weeping. And the rest of the disciples, where are they? Well, we read that they all forsook him and they fled. Strength, fortitude in a time of great trial, that is a great gift, special gift. That does not necessarily belong to those who are in the foreground in a time of peace and in the time of prosperity. The Lord Jesus had said to his disciples, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We see that here. Only John of the disciples. And yet, our text that mentions instead three women standing by the cross of Jesus. What does the Bible say about a woman? The Bible says that the woman, she is the weaker vessel. Means the man, he is also a weak vessel. But the woman, she is the weaker vessel, physically, emotionally. And yet here, there are, instead of the men, there are the women standing. Oh, there are the weakest ones. You are afraid, are you afraid? Because you are a weak one. You say, in time of great trial, in time of great persecution, I shall certainly never be able to stand. Where does that come from? The ability to stand and the courage to stand under trial. Is that now a man's strength? It does not belong unto the strongest in this world. It is a gift of God, sometimes given to the very weakest ones. Luke writes, and the women that followed him from Galilee, they stood afar off, beholding these things. But here we read these three women. They draw closer to the cross. Who are these women? Shall we go look, boys and girls? Let us go look. Let us go closer. Let us see exactly who it is that is standing at this cross. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, as the first woman we read of. His mother. That is something. Perhaps she was first with the other women in the beginning, afar off. She does not remain afar off. You understand that? Why? Who would make this mother to come near? Is she not afraid to come near? Are there not all around her enemies? Those that have crucified the Lord Jesus, the rough soldiers, the hateful Jews, they have cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." They are all about the cross. They are mocking with the Lord Jesus. Or is she not afraid to come nearer unto this cross? Yet she comes. She draws near. Why? Ah, you say, love. That is right. She cannot stay far away. Love. It is her own son. Born under her heart. Carried in her womb. It is her own flesh. Oh, she cannot stay away in these moments. It is the last hours of his life. It is love. It is the love of her heart that makes her bold, that makes her dare, that brings her through all the things that are frightening unto others and brings her close unto that cross of the Lord Jesus. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Oh, how intense are the feelings of filial affection. What heart is not touched when they see by the cross of Jesus his mother? What heart does not feel something of the sword that is piercing through her soul in this hour, as it was said to her 33 years ago at the birth of this child? Mary has often thought of that. We are sure, because Mary, she was a woman who thought much, who meditated much. Do you meditate also? You do that too, young people. Mary, all these things we read, she pondered them in her heart. Oh, there are other mothers and fathers in this world. They are not strangers to a sword that pierces through their heart. Also among us, those in this world, in these days, they stand. It is not only old people, young people, children. Oh, also some young people, some children. Then you can see their mother, their father, standing by their bedside. They can do nothing. Oh, they are so helpless. And then the sorrows, they do pierce through their heart. Oh, we have had it in our own midst. Mother, father, oh, standing by the grave of a child, their own flesh carried under their own heart, their own womb, and the sword that is going through their soul. Was no different with Mary, was it? You say, yes. Yes, there was something different with Mary. It was awful enough for us. But for Mary, oh, there is also so much more. Yes, that is true. What is it? What is it? That is so much more for Mary. Because for Mary, the mother of Jesus, oh, there are heartstrings, there are blood ties, but there is more than that, because there are also soul ties. in this Mary. The Lord Jesus is not only her son. What is he to her? Oh, the Lord Jesus, he is also her Savior. What did Mary sing when she went into that house of her cousin Elizabeth? And we can read there that she did sing, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Oh, what was he to her? Oh, then he was to her, her hope. Her hope. She was not a sinless woman, as Rome says. No, he was her hope. He was her expectation. As she has believed in him, when others have not believed in him, and she was bound to him, not only with natural bonds, but also with spiritual bonds, and so also with these other women that are with her. What do we read? And there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas. Who is this? His mother's sister. Is that not a great blessing for Mary? A great blessing for Mary that she has a sister. That she has such a sister. Especially at this time. A sister that loved the Lord Jesus. Not only with the natural bonds, but that was also bound unto him with spiritual bonds. Do you have a sister? Do you have a brother? Do you love your sister, children, young people? Do you love your brother? Ah, maybe sometimes you don't always agree. Oh, I hope you are always nice to one another. But are you bound to your sister with only natural bonds? Or are there some who may be bound to one another with spiritual bonds? It is likely that this Mary is, where we read elsewhere, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Thus one of her children, James, that would be who we read about, is James the Less, because there were two James. This woman, she was apparently a woman of some wealth. She loved the Lord Jesus. Is that not a wonder? Because we read in the Bible that God hath chosen the poor of this world. But this woman, she was not poor. Sometimes that is a burden. Sometimes that is a burden to those who are given a little wealth in this world. Oh, then the Lord blesses them with the temporal things. Then they read in the Word of God that it is for the poor of this world. Then they are afraid. They say then, oh, maybe I receive what is outward, and I will miss the greatest blessing. Riches, they are a temptation indeed. Yet they do not stand in the Lord's way. That is what we read here. Ah, see her, Mary, wife of Cleophas, standing by the cross of Jesus. She has ministered to him with all the love of her heart. All she has given of her wealth that was given unto her of the Lord. She was not afraid to share it and to sustain the Lord Jesus and all his disciples for all the natural needs that they stood of in this world. When there was a necessity, all then this Mary, the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus, then she was ready. Did she follow him only in the days of prosperity? No, she followed him also in the days of adversity. And therefore we read that standing by this cross is also Mary, the wife of Cleophas. Who else? We read, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Oh, who is Mary Magdalene? That is a woman who knew what deliverance was in her life. Because that is a woman who knew what misery was in her life. That is a woman that we read the Lord Jesus has cast out of her 7 devils. Oh, poor, oh, wretched woman. 7 devils. If we had one devil, then he is mightier than we. If we had one devil that would possess us, then we would say it is but the beginning of my eternal condemnation. Then it is the beginning of hell. And now Mary, we read she was possessed of 7 devils. Then it is for that woman as if her eternal lot that is already cast. Oh, it is for that woman as if there is no hope and that she is just full of devils. That there is no expectation. That there is no way of redemption anymore. That there is no one that will ever be able to help her and to deliver her out of her awful circumstances. What a power of darkness. And now this woman we read, she also stands by the cross. She stands by the cross of Jesus. Congregation, can we understand it? Why that woman? She was maybe standing afar off, that she could not stay afar. Can we understand it? That the last hours, that the last moments, that woman, everything that she has received, or what she has been delivered from, and the estimation that she has of the Lord Jesus in her heart, or and then to see what is taking place with him. Oh, then through all the fears, and then through all the enemies, then that woman, she has to come. She has to come closer. She has to come near unto this cross. Oh, it is him to whom her whole soul and that is so in debt. And so we see that these women, that 3 women, they have ministered. They have ministered, each one of them, in their life to the Lord Jesus. The mother of Jesus, oh, she has ministered to him out of body and soul, even since the day of his conception and of his birth. And her sister and Mary Magdalene, all they have given to him of all their substance. And now they are drawing near. And now they are standing. And oh, their heart to say, oh, if I could only minister. Oh, if I could only help him now. But now these women, they cannot do anything. They are standing there. And they are watching, oh, they are watching with a great horror. They are watching with a great dismay. Oh, why do they stand there?
It is congregation. It is such an awful, awful place.
There they watch. There they watch him die. There they watch him die an awful death. They cannot help him. Or we would say, women, why don't you go now?
Why don't you go now to your own place? Because there is nothing more that you are able to do. And yet the Bible says that they stood there, stood it in glory in the sight that is before them. All that is impossible. It is an unbearable sight. Oh, it is a sight that does make them tremble. It is a sight that makes them to shudder. Why do they stand there? Is this something that is now according to their will? Is this now a way that they have chosen? Ah, you say it is just the opposite. It all goes just in the way that they thought not, that they desired not. And why do they then stand there? It's love. It is love. Oh, they hear the mocking. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Ah, that is the rationality. That is the reasoning part. It ought to be so, right? He saved others. Yes. Can he not save himself? He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, because he said that he was the Son of God. Yes, that is true. Did he not say that? That he was the Son of God. Where is then his Father now? In the day of his greatest dismay, in the day of his greatest trouble. Do those three women hear that mocking? Ah, you say indeed they hear that mocking. Oh, women, give now an answer to that mocking. Oh, they cannot answer that mocking. They have no answer to that mocking. They do not understand it either. So what do? Because they do not understand it. Do they then leave him? Do they then go away? Do they then forsake him? Do they then say, well, then everything what he said, that must not be true, because we cannot understand what is now taking place? Oh, that is the rationality. That is the reasoning part. And yet they do not go. But they stand there. Why? Love. Love. It is love that keeps them there. It is love that preserves them when there is no more understanding. Love. What does the apostle say? He says, charity, love that never faileth. Let us sing. 202, stanzas 2 and 3. In glory thou only my portion shalt be, on earth for none other. I long but for thee. My flesh and heart falter, but God is my stay, the strength of my spirit, my portion 4a, 2 and 3 of Psalter 202.
the love of these three Marys that was manifested, by their standing by the cross of Jesus, that was on display, as it were, for everyone to see. How many people do you think have noticed these three women standing by the cross? Probably very few. And yet the Lord, He does notice. Not only does the Lord notice, but the Lord, He writes it down. The Lord, He has it recorded in His holy book that is recorded there in this verse for an everlasting record. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. O congregation, is our name also written with these three women? These Marys, they are not the same as the Apostle Peter or the Apostle John or Paul. Of them there is much written in the Word of God. Much written about them. Also much written by them. We do not read so much about these women, especially the Mary, the sister of Jesus, of the mother of Jesus, the wife of Cleophas. We know very little. And yet, this is written of them, that they stood by the cross of Jesus. Who is it written by? It is written by John. Ah, John is not the first author. Do you believe that? Spirit of the Lord, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the primary author, the Word of God, written these three names in His holy book. Oh, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Affection and love for Him, that is now one of the manifestations of His work. His work in the soul of His people. That is not a light matter to Him. Why not? John says we love Him because He first loved us. Thus, He says that it is evidence, that love, that is evidence of His love. Ah, His love. Where can we see His love? Oh, where can we see His love more than upon the cross? What did He say? He said, for greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Where can we see love but at the cross of Jesus? That love that is also being worked in the life of His children. That is love unto the Lord. That is one of the first things that is experienced in the life of God's children. That is what is making sin to be sin unto them. That is what is making sin to be evil unto them. That is what is giving them not only pangs of conscience, but sorrow of heart. Love. That is one of the first things. And Oh, it is one of the last things. Sometimes what is felt to be the only thing left, the Lord, He has stripped that people of all their high thoughts of themselves. So we hear Peter, oh Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. When all his strength was gone, and when all his courage that had failed him, yet he said, Thou knowest that I love Thee. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. That is now what the Bible records of these women. It does not say that they were mighty in strength. It does not say that they were mighty in wisdom, that they had a great faith, hope. But it speaks about their love. What does Paul say? Now abideth faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. That is why the Lord Jesus, He has asked Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, if you cannot in this moment claim a measure of faith, if you cannot claim hope, or if you cannot claim faithfulness, oh Peter, how low the Lord Jesus comes. He comes as a word to the foundation. He comes as a word to the bottom. And he says to him, lovest thou me? Love that endures to the end. If there is a least spark of love, it will never perish. Because love that endures the cross. Young people, I know that you are also listening. I want to say something, moment also to you. Sometimes we hear things, not necessarily about you, but about young people, and it makes us afraid. Why? Because it is possible that we, as young people, that we say we are going to get together, we are going to talk, we want to have discussions, we want to discuss religion. You say, is that not a good thing? Oh, sure. Sure, it is better than all the talk of this world. And yet, young people, when you are going to get together to speak about religion, who is going to guide you? Yeah, see, we are just going to discuss. Well, sometimes we fear that there are young people that know it too well. You know, I do not speak here about a good education. And I do not speak against you reading or against you learning. Reading the Bible, reading good books, but you know that is not true conversion. It is also not enough to keep you. in the time of trial. There was once a boy, and he was asked to explain something. Why did he believe the Bible? And that boy could not explain it. And that other boy who had asked him, he began to mock him. He says, you hold on to things you cannot even explain. Yeah. That was true. So how can that be? Someone would hold on to something that they cannot even explain. Well, will you ask these three Marys? Oh, there are so many mysteries in the Bible. You know, Paul, he wrote many books of the Bible. Peter, he wrote also part of the Bible. Peter, he says that in Paul's epistles, there are things that are hard to be understood. Peter, you understand the whole Bible? Oh, there are things. You say, what does that mean? And God's children, how many things in their life that they cannot understand? And when they cannot understand, and because you cannot understand, you throw it all away. God's people, they are preserved. How are they preserved? They are preserved by love. Love never faileth. Love is what brings them through every trial, through every cross. And if we love Him, then you can be sure that there will be trials and there will be crosses to test that love. There are so many things that they have no answers for. There are so many riddles that live in their heart. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, you shall know hereafter. Hereafter. Not right now. Well, you say, how can they be expected still to follow? Well, it is not the understanding. No, it is the love. The love makes them cleave even in their ignorance. That love that makes them cleave even in their foolishness. And there is not only ignorance and foolishness and that they do not understand, but there is so much also that goes against their will, that goes against their flesh, that they would not choose that way. And yet, oh, they stay there. They stay there. Love that preserves them, that they do not end up like Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now they're stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So the Lord, he records it of his people. He sees and knows what is in their heart. He knows and sees that they cannot understand it. He knows and sees that it crosses their way. That it was what they did not expect. He knows and sees that for them everything is upside down. And he sees them still standing there because of that love. Oh, he sees what? He sees his own work. His own work. That is pleasing to him. Therefore, he writes it in his book. You can read that in the Word of God. Those that sighed and that cried for the sins that were taking place in his people. Oh, he writes it with an indelible ink. You think those women wept? Oh, I'm sure they wept. Did the Lord Jesus rebuke them? Don't read that. Like he rebuked those wailing women. But not these tears. Ah, some tears. They are tears. They are just of the emotions of men. But these are tears of sorrow, through sorrow. These are tears of love. These are tears that are marked by Him. And they are put into His bottle. Oh, congregation, how many tears. They do live in the heart of the true people of the Lord. Why? Because they cannot attain unto the great things. You read in the Bible that they fear that they are not members of the body of Christ. Why? Well, because they say, I am not the hand, and therefore I am not of the body. Or I am not the eye, and therefore I am not of the body. What does the apostle say? He said, if the whole body that were seeing, where were the smelling? Oh, he says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. Those members are necessary if the Lord Jesus, if He has ever revealed Himself to your poor soul, then you will love Him. Then you will love Him. And that love cannot be lost. What does the Apostle John say? He says, love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and he knoweth God. For that love that may lie dormant, you may not feel the power of that love anymore. Oh, it can be that you have also left that first love, but it cannot be lost. It cannot be lost. Oh, let the Lord only put in His hand once. Let Him put in His hand by the hole of the door. And then that love, that shall flourish. It shall revive as the corn. It shall grow as the vine. What does Solomon say? Many waters cannot quench love. Oh, the church may go far astray. Far astray. Hardness. Coldness. Can even curse and swear that they do not even know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but let Him give them one look. One look. And they will go out. And they will weep bitterly. Here is now the mark, the foundational mark of that true church. Mark that identifies that people. A mark that is binding that people together. Lay in the heart of John. He was the apostle of love. It lay in the heart of these three Marys. It lays in the heart of all His church. Standing at the foot of the cross. The same love. And with that same sorrow. Every one of them they do say. With Solomon. O thou. Whom my soul loveth. So they cleave to Him. In life. In trial. In tribulation and in death. Those are preserved by love for whatever is coming, for whatever is future, for all days of darkness, for all that is laid away, that is for them unexpected. And now that cleaving in love, that shall not be put to shame, that we hope to see. May the Lord grant His blessing. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge Thee for a few words. Oh, could it be that Thou wouldst encourage Thy own true children because they do not know it so often anymore. Oh, then it seems like there is nothing left anymore. Everything in turmoil. Everything upside down. But oh, thou dost know where they are. Each and every one of them. And thou hast written their names in thy book. Oh, give them a little token of thy love in this day and of thy favor. And could it please thee to solve the riddles for them, also concerning their own case, oh, that it may be made plain for them, and that they may be given soon to rejoice, that the days of sorrow, that they may be made into days of rejoicing. Oh, wilt thou look upon us in the rest of this day, keep us all upon thy Sabbath day from all sin and evil, danger and harm. Care for us in the week that is to come. Look upon the children and the young people as they do their labors at home, the mothers in a special way. For there are so many increased labors, and then they need the strength also to be able to do it all. Lord, wilt thou help them? Wilt thou be near to them? Wilt thou visit them? And wilt thou bless these ways unto each and every one of us, forgiving all our sins and giving thy word a place in our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We close with Psalter 398, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by His most gracious hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 398.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.